time to find balance and be refreshed here on Every Heart, Every Woman.
Every Heart, Every Woman.
Get ready for uplifting music and inspiring interviews.
Every Heart, Every Woman.
Let's get motivated to move forward as we share our life experiences. Host, Carla Nivens.
Welcome to the show, everyone. My name is Carla Nivens. I am your host for the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. Before we jump into our interview for today, we're going to set the tone like we do with a little bit of live music. This is Father to Son by Eric Willis and Josh Willis. Sit back and enjoy. Welcome back, everyone. I hope you enjoyed Father to Son by Eric Willis and Josh Willis. I am Carla Nivens. I am your host for the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. Our show is a program of Love Ministries, which is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. You can go to loveministriesbuilds.org. You can get all of the information about Love Ministries. And so this really, the song that we just just heard, Father to Son, really is a great segue into our interview. Father to Son was composed by Eric Willis, and we are also welcoming Eric Willis into the radio show today. Welcome, Eric.
Hey, thank you, Carla.
Thank you so much for being here. So Eric lives in Dallas, and he was a counselor. He's worked as a counselor for Suicide and Crisis Hotline. He's also served in many churches in the Dallas area for 25 years, and that's actually where we met, we think.
That's right.
Unless we met before that.
No, it was church.
It was
work.
Church.
Church,
okay.
Yes.
So Eric is really committed to enhancing the lives of those on their journey to manhood, and men who had poor relationships with their fathers. So, and Eric also wrote a book called Father to Son. So Eric is, number one, very prolific, very hilarious, highly hilarious, and very creative, and talented. So you all just buckle up. We'll see where this conversation goes. He's already cracking up. So, Eric, first of all, thank you so much for being here. And I think where I want to start is let's talk about music first. Let's talk about music first. And so we met at Highland Park United Methodist Church,
right?
Where you were the leader of the Cornerstone Band.
That's right.
And so every week you were, you know, composing the music and making sure everything was well, running the rehearsals, and then we would do worship service. Back then, we had one service,
mm-hmm.
right?
That's right.
We had one service. We had, and it was at 11 o'clock, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a weekday rehearsal.
Yes.
And so Eric, okay, are you ready for my story? So in our rehearsal, I'm just going to give everybody just a peek into our rehearsal. So we had a great time. Of course, we conducted business. Mm-hmm. We got ready for the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
But Eric is, I found out, a storyteller, a masterful storyteller. Well, sometimes you can't decipher, is this a true story or is this fiction? Should we call it fiction?
Let's call it fiction.
So one time, I've just joined the band. I don't believe it was my first time in rehearsal, but, you know, maybe my first three times in rehearsal. He's telling a story about a friend of ours, Melissa Paxton, she's a female. We're all very good friends, so she will remember this story and she will laugh when she hears it. She is, we'll just say she's Anglo, she's not black. And so Eric goes off on a very long story about MLK Day and Martin Luther King Day and how Melissa gives talks every year on MLK. And he's telling all of these things about what she says and how she's doing well in the community. Everybody is enamored with the talks she's giving, and she's really making a huge impact on the community. Now, all of this was fiction, but I don't know. Like, I'm just coming into the band, so I'm sitting there, and I'm looking at Melissa thinking, really? You give talks on MLK? Like, when is your next talk? Like, I really need to hear these talks, and I want to be there to see what kind of impact, you know, you're making on the community. And then I can't remember who just spilled the beans, just said, you know, Eric, this is a fictional story. Everybody laughs. It completely breaks the ice of everything. And then we really do get down to work. But Eric can have you in a story in the middle of it, and you are like engrossed in the story thinking, really, this happens? And then he's like, well, no, that didn't happen at all. This is Eric Willis.
Well, I like Mark Twain. He would call it spinning a yarn. So
there you go.
I can spin a yarn. That's all it is. But they're fun. They're amazing.
Yes. Amazing stories. So you have to consider, okay, is he spinning yarn?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, spin a yarn.
So, and Eric is a genius, creative genius. He's sitting there looking like, Yes. Creative genius.
I'm just thinking, this is the best interview ever. I've never had an interview like this.
And Eric, one of Eric's passions is taking all of his knowledge, and he's studied music for many, many years. Eric is one of those who could, do you remember that time that you bought an accordion?
Yes.
He bought an accordion, taught himself how to play it, and then showed up to the gig with the accordion. Of course, all of us are like, Eric, is that an accordion? And he said, yes, no, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. And y'all, it was amazing. Like, he taught himself how to play it, brought it to the gig, slammed on the accordion, and he would just go back and forth from keys to the accordion, keys to the accordion, and it was wonderful. So when I say he's a musical genius, a creative genius, he really is, because that's difficult to do, buy an accordion and then learn how to use it good enough to actually play it at a professional gig. So, but one of your passions really is taking all of your experience and knowledge that you have gained about music, and you'll write a book or you'll create a program so that people who really want to learn how to play music, how to read music, how to understand it, can get one of your programs or your books and learn how to play music and then be able to go out and gig.
Yeah, yeah. So my thing is application. Can I get you to the level of understanding where you can apply what you learned from me? And I want it to happen rapidly. I moved here in 1989. I ETS'd out of the 77th U.S. Army Band in Fort Sill, Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. When I got to Dallas, there's just so many great musicians, particularly organists for these churches. And I'd be all over the city. Sometimes I could go to two or three churches in Oak Cliff in an afternoon and see these great musicians. And I would ask, what was that you did? And most of them couldn't even explain what it was they played or any kind of knowledge. They didn't have any kind of background.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just set out to understand, first of all, what it was they were doing, and then try to put music theory in a language that I could then feed back to them, and they could actually teach me after having some command of the language.
Mm-hmm.
And so I ended up doing a 10-year study, and I wrote a book called Piano Quick. Mm-hmm. And that thing, it happens so rapidly, you're learning, that when you nod your head, I could tell you what's on the page. You just nod, yes, we turn the page. The piano is an 88-key chromatic instrument. Chromatic means half step. This is how you make a half step. People go, okay, turn the page. And so I just systematically built that information up until it revolves around the chromatic scale. If you understand the names of those intervals, those distances, those sounds, we can put chords together, rhythms, melodies, and now you have the language that you can begin to communicate with others.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yes, and it really is helping musicians. And so I didn't know that you were first going to musicians and saying, teach me that. And then they were like, well, I don't know. I just played it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. God-given.
Yeah.
God-given talent.
Yeah.
That's good. So if especially our musicians in church, most definitely in the African-American community, most have somebody said, okay, sit down and play this. Did you hear it? Okay, play it. You know, and then they just sit down and produce it on their instrument and then have to go back and learn, okay, what do I already know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what did the Lord just give me?
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. The other thing is, we don't sell very much sheet music. When you have all these gifted people, it's hard to sell your music. So if we can give people a little bit more command, we start to move around in other mediums in the music industry.
Right.
In terms of reading and going to do workshops. Now I can teach four-part harmony, those kinds of things. So we do want to expand our knowledge. By the way, the new book is called Piano Quick Notes, and I have discovered how to teach people to read music on the staff, and it is immediate. There are no gimmicks. There's no rhymes, every good boy, any of that stuff. Mm-hmm. It is just on site, and you react to what you are seeing immediately. And I just started with a picture of a stop sign and say, mm-hmm. you don't read the letters on this sign. You've seen it enough time that you would just apply the brake and mm-hmm. come to a stop. Mm-hmm. That's what reading music should be like, just to get you to where you are reactionary to what you are seeing. And I think this new book is going to do it.
That's
yeah.
Very good. So I told you all, he's a creative genius.
Who's your engineer?
Aaron Long.
Oh, Aaron.
Yes.
Could you put a little more bass in my voice? I want to sound like Barry White.
Oh,
man.
My goodness.
I know you got a Barry White button in there. Just make me sound fantastic.
I told you listeners, you don't know what's going to happen. We have to just buckle up. So Eric, tell how many books have you written?
I think I have 7 books right now.
Okay. So, I mean, very prolific. And the way you think about music and production, you kind of... I would say you think about it from the other side. So the world needs more people who think about it from the other side and can let the commoners in on all the difficult theory stuff.
Yes.
So, Eric, tell us, how can we find your books?
Well, ericwillisbooks.com is the first place.
Okay.
If you want to go to the website, ericwillisbooks.com. And then it's on every media platform. You mm-hmm. can get them out at iBooks and all the other platforms.
Mm-hmm. And then you've also composed, you know, so much music. And now your son, Josh Willis, is now joining you on so much. And he's joining you on the drums.
Right.
And so Josh, man, has grown up just in music, in jazz, in church, just around music. He was always at Highland Park. He was always sleep under the bench or something mm-hmm. like that.
That's right.
And then we would forget that he was there. We walk out of the church, turn the lights off, walk out of the church, lock it up. He'd run out. Dad, hold up.
That's right. Yeah.
He was always around. So he's picked it up and picked it up beautifully, and he's a wonderful musician. And so tell us, what is your, you know, how do you approach writing music?
Oh, that's a good question. It happens in various ways. Sometimes it's organic. You're driving down the road, you hear a melody. Mm-hmm. You got to turn on that memo device and try to capture it mm-hmm. and explain what the rhythms are to it. But there's a chord progression. I call it the classical chord progression. If you thought of do, re, mi, fa, sol, the number system is 1-4-7-3-6-2-5-1. That is the master progression. That's the direction that chords move in classical music.
Mm-hmm.
So every time I listen to a song or something comes to mind, I go around in that order. And every composer is choosing, you know, chord one, the next chord, whatever it is, it may not be in 1-4-7 order, but it's somewhere in that sequence.
Mm-hmm.
And so I learn music patterns, and almost all of Western music moves around in Western music moves around in this pattern. So you can learn other people's music as well as recognize that the music that's coming from you is according to this classical pattern mm-hmm. generally.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's all of these devices, transposing, doing a chord that pivots or modulates. And you'll recognize when you get the master chord pattern, that 1-4-7-3-6-2-5-1, you'll be able to master all the music that comes from you. And you recognize there are devices. If you play a diminished chord and it's a 7 chord, the next chord is going to be 3. And you have all other choices, but the dominant choice is a 3 chord. It's going to be a minor chord.
Mm-hmm.
When you predict those things, you can sing 2 or 3 notes, and it governs where the next melody line will go, what the
right.
chord will be. So there's something, you know, it's intuitive about us doing music.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just not out of the air.
Right.
The way we think.
Right, right.
But there's something very logical and something powerful about it, because people are creative with the choices they make when they get to this, it's almost like being at an intersection and you decide, will I turn left or right? That's what music is doing. You progress me to a certain point, and then you make other decisions about what happens next. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it's cool what's going on in music with right. what happens next.
Right, right, right.
I even love what's happening in hip-hop. These people are clever. I think they are just geniuses.
Mm-hmm.
And many of them don't have an idea, not even a clue, as to, in terms of theoretically, what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
mm-hmm.
just creative as, you know, all mm-hmm. outdoors. So
mm-hmm.
I love it. The other thing is I planted, over my career, I have planted 9 churches.
Mm-hmm.
So at heart, I'm a church planter. I like to get in and help people grow, help organizations grow.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized early on when I'm younger, people don't listen to you. They just don't want to hear what the youth have to say. But you have the answers.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wrote on Facebook, I call myself the Facebook philosopher.
Okay.
So in your 20s, you have great ideas mm-hmm. and your boss takes them and gets a promotion and a bonus.
Mm-hmm.
In your 30s, you have great ideas. Your kids won't listen. In your 40s, you have great ideas. Nobody will listen. In your 50s, you have great ideas. You don't know whether to market them to the elders or the youth. In your 60s, you have great ideas. You're going to speak it. You don't care who listens.
Right, right, you know? Right.
In your 70s and your 80s, you get the idea. It's mm-hmm. to live, love, learn, and leave a legacy. So, but it's that youth, they don't listen to us. But I have all the information. You know, that's how the job at Highland Park came to being.
Okay.
They were leading, it was a singles ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And they had 15 people in the band.
Okay.
5 or 6 people on the tech team. And there were maybe 30 people attending.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we had them almost outnumbered. And I go to the leader and I say, hey, what are you trying to do? What's mm-hmm. your vision?
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of stumbled over something. I don't know whether it was a real vision or not.
Mm-hmm.
But I went down to DTS and I got him a book called Values Driven Ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, if you write this vision, all these people on your staff with master's degrees will run. And I'm talking like horses.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be busy trying to keep up with them.
Mm-hmm.
So did that. And the senior pastor at the time, Mark Craig, heard some outsider is giving this advice that's helping them. And
mm-hmm.
next thing I know, I'm in the guy's office. And then they're paying me
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
to guide them and talking to me on the phone. They were paying me. And next thing I figured they just went, wait a minute, if we're going to pay this guy this much money, why don't we just ask him to come
staff.
On staff?
Yes.
And I tried to offer it to Tyrone.
Okay.
Who was the vocalist at the
yes,
time.
Yes.
I tried to offer it. He didn't want it. So I ended up on staff.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a glorious time. It was great.
Yes.
It was a great opportunity, but also to be able to pull talent, to
mm-hmm.
get people, you know, and to bring exposure in a way that our culture, if I had time, I'd write a book called The Sound Barrier, because that wall out there on 75 leading to Highland Park is a sound barrier.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that. I thought it was a wall that said keep out. But we broke the sound barrier that way. We broke the sound barrier in the music that we presented.
Mm-hmm.
We broke the sound barrier with the language that we used.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. So, and you were there in the band, like I said, when I got there
mm-hmm.
to the band. And
yeah.
we did. I mean, we did things in, we had a certain sound. We had just influences that you would bring in, you know, just different influences. It wasn't the typical contemporary worship band. It was
right.
It was unique.
Right. You couldn't come in there with 3 chords and a capo.
There you go.
You had to play.
There you go.
You had to read.
There you go.
You know, you had to be musical.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was a really good bridge to bring a congregation from pipe organ and high church
mm-hmm.
and to come to very high level contemporary music.
Right, right, right. Yes. So we had a wonderful time.
Yes.
It was a wonderful time. And mm-hmm. so the foundation that you started, we've been able to continue on through, you know, through the years.
It's been amazing.
Yes. Yes. So let's take a break. And when we get back, I want to get into your book, Father to Son, and all of the wisdom that's in your book. So we'll be back in just a minute.
Every heart, every woman. Every heart, every woman.
You're listening to Every Heart, Every Woman, the show where women find balance, peace, and inspiration. Now let's get back to the show with your host, Carla Nivens.
Welcome back to the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. My name is Carla Nivens. I am your host. We are having a great conversation with Eric Willis. Thank you so much again, Eric, for being here with us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And so let us, Eric, now jump into your book, Father to Son.
Sure.
So I bought this book from you and not at the gig where you brought the
accordion.
The accordion too, but at another gig after that. Mm-hmm. And so you said, you know, I have this book, Father to Son, and I was like, okay, perfect, I want it. I bought one from you, jumped into it, read it, loved it.
Wow.
There's so much here. So my first question, because I really want to give people a sense of what's in the book, because I want them to get it. Why did you write? Why write Father to Son?
Well, Father to Son, words of wisdom every son should consider. It was on my heart heavily to write it because our kids grow up so fast. There's mm-hmm. so much you want to tell them, and you know, they wouldn't remember it even if you could. Mm-hmm. So it occurred to me to start pinning down my thoughts, and it was... This is terrible to say, but it's honest. I'm sitting in a church. I'm serving at a church that the announcements are so long and they don't pertain to me. I would pick up my journal and write. I wrote most of that book in the wasted space in a worship service.
Hmm.
So it was a blessing. That space was available and it was a blessing to me. Let me put it like that. But I had a really terrible relationship with my father. He is a narcissist, mm-hmm. and I didn't know that until my mother died.
Mm-hmm.
And we spent 7 years in court. I just stood up to him. He tried to swindle me out of my inheritance.
Mm-hmm.
And in Louisiana, you know, they have Napoleonic laws on the books.
Mm-hmm.
So there are certain things that the children have rights to. He tried to swindle me. And that moment, you know, those 7 years, it explained all of the pain, the trauma that we went through. And I was no longer able to attribute it to my father being ignorant, lacking knowledge, or this is just his way. We didn't have words like dysfunctional. I just called him abrasive.
Mm-hmm.
But it explained that he was systematic and intentional in his abuse, and that changed everything. And so I had to go through the pain of that. That was 2010 up almost to the present.
Mm-hmm.
The book came out in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to process all of that and at the same time try to figure out what does that mean to me and to my son. And
mm-hmm.
so I really did need to pen this.
Okay. Okay. And so in the book, you go through, you pick topics
mm-hmm.
and you just kind of write from your heart about that topic.
Yes. Yes, there are 52 topics,
mm-hmm.
it turns out, and every time I had a thought, they were random when they came to me. But I would find that category, and I would write that new thought down.
Mm-hmm. So tell us, I want to go through, this is what I want to do, because to give people a good sense of the wisdom that's in this book, and it is... I can tell that it is something that you've been, these are words that you've been honing and thinking about
mm-hmm.
your whole entire life.
Yes.
So you've written them down in this book.
Yes.
From your experience, just from life experience, which is wonderful. So I want to go through some of the topics, and then I would love for you to just share with us your experience and what you wrote about that topic.
Sure.
And I also know that you told me this, that another reason was for this book is this is something that I can also hand to my son. in like a handbook.
Yes.
And he can look through it and read when he's facing such and such.
That's right. Yeah, I think it's a lifelong journal. It's mm-hmm. a resource.
Yes.
And you know something about that just before you begin. Mm-hmm. There are young men who are reading the book. And then I've had mothers and daughters mm-hmm. to start reading it. Mm-hmm. And they're finding as much value in it. And so I was really blown away because I was focused, really zeroed in on my son. Mm-hmm. And then the amount of men that could be influenced by it, you know, in a larger way.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
it really turns out to be enlightening in some ways and also encouraging because the information is not just gender specific.
Right.
It is practical
Absolutely.
For everyone.
Absolutely. I wholeheartedly agree. So the first topic, conflict.
Conflict.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say this. Resolution is always in the scope of conflict. So that means if we have whatever it is we have in common that causes the conflict, mm-hmm. we'll have to point ourselves to that to find resolution. It's not in things that are not common to us.
Mm-hmm.
So wherever our interest is, we have to work through that. The other thing I think is important, especially for this generation, we tend to be less verbal,
yes.
Ebonic.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have the ability to communicate as our elders did,
right.
you know. So
right.
you have to avoid conflict when you recognize that a person doesn't have what we call epistemology, the capacity to understand, to process information.
Mm-hmm.
That conversation has to be over. It is not going anywhere except physical, some sort of altercation.
Mm-hmm.
I try to encourage young men, leave that alone. Because you're bigger than that. If you have the ability to be logical about it, you should be able to analyze this is not going anywhere or mm-hmm. is not going to end well.
Mm-hmm.
And remove yourself from it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So next topic, mm-hmm. faith.
Whew. Amen. Is this a church show? Because I said amen.
Yes.
All right, amen. Well, one is tenacity. But faith issues, I want my son to recognize that pursuing God, there's no mediator for
mm-hmm.
you in
mm-hmm.
terms of intelligence. I want you to pursue an understanding of who God is by studying your own Greek. Be terrible at Hebrew, but take the class.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And to increase your relationship that when you encounter others who are on the journey, you're going to sharpen yourself by being around the right people.
Mm-hmm.
But recognize it is yours to develop. It is your responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And it's your life.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to take command of it.
Right. Okay, so military service.
Yes. If you consider military service, it is a noble exchange. There are great benefits. But you have to recognize at the end of the day, you are offering up your life if necessary.
Mm-hmm.
And I also mm-hmm. say, qualify yourself to be an officer as opposed to enlisted.
Mm-hmm.
Enlisted men salute officers. You might as well receive salutes rather than give them. And the benefits, again, are a little bit greater.
Mm-hmm.
So qualify yourself on those levels. And no matter what level you serve at, I don't want to be condescending. Wherever you serve, it is noble,
mm-hmm.
and get yourself an honorable discharge
mm-hmm.
for having served well,
mm-hmm.
and the benefits are everlasting. You
know? Yeah. Yeah, that's good. What about education?
Educate yourself. Increase your intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
Learn a new language. Always open yourself up for new information.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm at places like the Dallas Symphony, and they're open up the program, and their patrons. I'm picking up those things when people are dropping them on the ground because
yes.
I want to know who the patrons are. What are
mm-hmm.
their interests? Who are these people? Always learn because these people are around you. And if you arrive at the place where you need patronage for something that they're interested in, you now know patrons that nobody ever thought about.
Mm-hmm.
And you can approach mm-hmm. people humbly, and if they agree with what you are pursuing, you will have more help than you can, you know, that
mm-hmm.
than you have room for.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to get to the next one, but I just wanted to So at the end of all of the topics, mm-hmm. you list a couple of things that are noteworthy. Mm. And on the page of education, you have eight things listed. Learn to do graphic design. Learn how to print posters and signage. Work for an advertising agency. Learn to record and mix audio. On and on and on, you know, to eight things. Just in all saying, be creative. Learn new things. Get out there and try it. Figure it out.
Yes. Yeah, Seth Godin has a great book called Lynchpin. And I was so excited about it that I asked him, could I put his video on my website?
Mm-hmm.
I called the guy and he answered the phone. He's in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he says a linchpin is a person who can see a problem and a solution before anybody else notices, or they can resolve issues, or, you know, and they, he said that prior to this age, you just wanted to work for a company 30 years, keep your head down, mm-hmm. get a gold watch and a party and retire. You know, and now the people who are being rewarded are the ones, they're not the ones with their heads down. It's the one who stands up to say something or do something innovative,
mm-hmm.
to, like you said, creative.
Mm-hmm.
The ones who are building all of these platforms, these apps that we are now using.
Right.
That was a single mind or a handful of people,
right.
not a mass of people with their head down,
mm-hmm.
but it was someone who had the idea, was courageous enough to pursue it. And that's the thing. I want you to be able to engage this era that we live in, this technology that changes every 12 to 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to keep your head up on the horizon, constantly mm-hmm. trying mm-hmm. to create or come up with something new that people find usable.
Right, right. Okay, next topic, being alone.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't teach our kids about being alone.
Being alone means you're all one.
Mm-hmm.
Alone, all
mm-hmm.
one.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get to that place where being alone is precious to you,
mm-hmm.
then engaging others, you know, some of those personality types that are gregarious and want to be around people and they get energy. Some of us, I actually recharge my battery by being alone
mm-hmm.
so that it enables me to be in the presence of people.
Mm-hmm.
But regardless of what side of that you fall on, just recognizing being alone is how you recognize that you're whole. And I think that's where you get to examine yourself
mm-hmm.
to see where the holes are in your personhood,
hmm.
if you will.
Hmm.
So you've got to be honest with yourself, and alone is a great place to do that.
Yeah, yeah, that's good. Okay, what about do it now?
Do it now.
Mm-hmm.
When you have things to do that are important, usually those things we hate to do, we try to push it off. But I realized if I do a little bit, if I constantly find myself doing a little something,
mm-hmm.
I will end up having very little to do because I'm constantly working on something
mm-hmm.
as opposed to putting it off until it's a massive mess. You've got a deadline, your back is to the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And then the quality of what you do, you don't have time to assess the quality of the output. So I say, do it now, whatever it is, just do it now. And then take all of that other time. Project management calls it flex time, when you finish something early.
Right.
All of that other time is flex time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's talk about worship. This is one of my favorite topics.
Mm. Okay, guide me. There's so much to say.
Well, number one, since you've worked in churches for mm-hmm. over 25 years,
yes.
Mainly in the area of worship, I would love to know your, even from that perspective, like mm-hmm. your philosophy on the worship songs that you choose, what kind of atmosphere you want to set with the worship music you choose, and how you, because you can sing, but predominantly most of the time you're not the worship leader.
That's
so
right.
How are you influencing the worship leader to lead worship?
That's unique. That's a very good question.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I am leading a church called Art Church Life, where we meet in the Willow Bend Mall.
Okay.
I love it. It's just a unique church plant.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in the North Texas Performing Arts Center. So all of that space over there is available. So we started doing that about 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
But we have the ability to follow scripture, to see the thematic direction of a worship service,
mm-hmm.
and that should have a major influence. And then theology. Musicians don't think in terms of theology or pursue. I encourage every musician to take at least a hermeneutics class. That's mm-hmm. the science of biblical interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been at churches that are very, very emotional, and you know that.
Mm-hmm.
They want you to uplift them with the music. The words almost don't matter. They mm-hmm. just want to go on an emotional journey
mm-hmm.
and stay in that place. I'm just being honest. Some of that is just free therapy. Mm-hmm. I just want to go to a place where I didn't pay $100, $105 an hour so that I can shout out to get this pain out. Worship should be the idea of us finding a God who is worthy of our praise.
Mm-hmm.
He's worthy of our time, our effort, our sacrifice to even be in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And we are actually thanking him for what he has done.
Mm-hmm.
Many people go into worship and we want to praise for what we want God to do for us, as opposed to recognizing who he is and what he has already done.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one of my, musically, there's just so much music now
mm-hmm.
and it's developed so well that it would be difficult not to be able to hit the target that you're shooting for in terms of what's available for us
mm-hmm.
in worship.
Mm-hmm.
I really do think it's the heart of the worshiper. It's the heart of the leader. What's my intentions, and how willing am I to pay the price to educate myself, to lead people at a high level?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm. That's good. Okay, fitness and health.
Boy. Okay, I grew up in South Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
There are some foods in our diets that are just automatically not good for us.
Exactly.
But it tastes
anyway.
Oh my
yes.
gosh, it's so good. It is so good. And some of it is good for us. We just consume too much of it.
Mm-hmm.
We just get to those places where, you know, and you, by the time it's too late to do anything about it, you're fighting to regain your health.
Right.
I just want to say to youth, when you have a chance, do it now. Maintain your nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, drink distilled water mm-hmm. over tap water. That's hospital grade water. I didn't know that.
Distilled water is?
Yes.
Okay.
That's hospital grade water.
Mm-hmm.
And when I said that to a friend, he said, man, I smoke cigars and I use this humidor, I guess it is.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I use tap water and the cigars disintegrated. And I told him about distilled water, and he said they maintain their moisture.
Hmm.
There's a huge difference. So it's things like that that when, and we do, we can see the exercise generation, and
mm-hmm.
people are more
mm-hmm.
Consider nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
But when you came out of my house or you came out of my lineage, which
mm-hmm.
my son did, I said this before, I could only give him what I knew to give him.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have the capacity. And so those are the things, that's kind of why this book is written, because I have discovered things that I want you to have. This is my legacy to you,
mm-hmm.
even though my father didn't, he has no legacy for me.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I can't even think of a moment of value that my dad has given me.
Mm-hmm.
He's a musician,
mm-hmm.
and people assume that he taught me.
Mm-hmm.
I was inquisitive. I was exposed to the musicians around him, and one of his colleagues, Howard Nixon, actually taught me.
Okay.
But I was wide open looking around.
Mm-hmm.
But my dad, he loves, a narcissist loves the facade. So, not to slam you, bro, but I'm slamming you. They love the appearance of things. They love how things look,
mm-hmm.
but they don't actually do anything about the insides, the inner working.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
the inner workings of his house, it's a wreck. But as long as the outside of the house looks great.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the same as the man in the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to do some work on that.
Right.
And
right.
I just wanted my son to conquer the things, you know, I fought to conquer
mm-hmm.
or not even face them.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the cover of that book,
mm-hmm.
I'm facing backward. My son is facing forward.
Right.
And it's because I got your six. I'm going to fight all of the demons that come from your past. They ain't getting past me to mm-hmm. bother you.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to be concerned about what's ahead
what's
of you
forward.
And what's mm-hmm. left and right.
Mm-hmm.
You got
mm-hmm.
12, 6, and 3, and 9.
Mm-hmm.
You
got to
worry about that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want the past. And I think we should be willing to commit to protect our children from our faulty past.
Hmm.
And we just keep passing it down. I've been mentoring in schools, and I see it. It's amazing. I mentor in Plano, of all places, and you can see the faulty stuff that's being handed to these kids, and it's such a shame because they would otherwise be great children.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not giving them a future.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Adults. We have to care for our children.
I was going to say, did I write that as a
topic?
No.
You didn't. But I'm always, you know, on top of that. Like, come on, adults. You know, we need to hand great things on to our children. Okay, next one.
Mm-hmm.
Business.
Yes.
That's huge.
Yeah, because we don't even understand the premise of business many times, especially
mm-hmm.
as musicians.
Mm-hmm.
We should get around people who have business acumen
mm-hmm.
and learn what we can learn.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do business. Again, your ability to communicate. I think I asked my son to do this. Go join the Chamber of Commerce. You know,
okay.
join those business organizations and be inept.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just dress the part and walk around. And I would even introduce myself as, hey, I'm here. I'm a chihuahua, but I'm running with the big dogs. Until I grow some strength and some legs, I'm going to be a chihuahua, but I'm running with the big
mm-hmm.
dogs. And I think just by your fervor, people around you will be impressed to say, this kid wants something.
Mm-hmm.
This young man, this young woman, they're after something. You know what? I think I have some time. I'll mentor you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But you have to put yourself in the space.
Right, right. That's good. Okay, marriage.
Predominantly, you can give your heart to anyone. Give it to someone who has the capacity to love you as much as you love them.
Hmm.
You want your marriage, your future, your children's lives are at stake. It's not just you making a decision.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a bad decision, you can live with it. But the implications, the ripple effect, you're affecting generations to come. And you don't think about it because generally we're just selfish. We know what
mm-hmm.
we feel and
think
love and
right
want
now.
Right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I try to be humorous and say, hey, think about what your family reunions will look like. Do you want it to be glorious or unbearable? But that's one of the most critical decisions you can make is
mm-hmm.
who you spend your life with,
totally
who you
agree.
Love. It can wreck you.
I totally agree.
Hmm.
That's good. So that was a couple of topics,
mm-hmm.
you all. You need to get this book so that you can get all the rest of them.
Got
so
me
father
happy.
To son. Look, there you go. See, you're preaching. So father to son. We can get father to son off of your website. Is
yes.
that correct?
EricWillisBooks.com.
Okay. Very good. So everyone, reach out to Eric Willis, get his books. You know, you're thinking about learning to play and to understand theory so that you can be out gigging and making money. Check out his books and also his CDs. He and Josh are now together putting out beautiful music, and then he's also already, you know, so prolific with the music that he's put out before. So, Eric, we thank you so much for your time and for your wisdom.
Thank you for having me.
Everyone, our show is a program of Love Ministries, which is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Find out more information about Love Ministries from their website, loveministriesbuilds.org. Have a wonderful week. My name is Carla Nivens.
Every heart.